gather more. Because we're living in a time where church is not church anymore. A lot of people are using church as a business and stuff like that, but they're not doing it for the uplifting and the building of the kingdom of God. Because I'm around a lot of churches up there that I don't feel the presence of the Lord in. And when if I don't feel the presence of the Lord in that place, I mean, it's a place that I don't want to be. But I thank God for coming down here to the Wilderness Presidential Retreat because it brings me back to who I am. Not up there where you got to somewhat put on a facade that you are all this and you're all that, but I can be myself and don't have to worry about what somebody is doing or saying about me because I'm me. I'm who God made me. And I thank God for what he's done in my life and how he's brought me to come to the place to where I'm at today. Because had he done it another way, I don't think I would have made it. But I thank God for you, brother, on the music back there. I know brother, is it Ken? Kevin, I always say Ken. Brother Kevin, appreciate you being back here today because he was trying to do it all at one time. I'm not saying nothing about it, but it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord, amen, directing what you normally do here, amen. So we thank you for being here today, and I honor you for that, amen. And I honor Brother Ken for those songs because and my brother here because, you know, it's those type of songs that I get my joy out of. That stuff they sing in the day, I don't know what half of them saying. I can understand every word you say. But today up there, I mean, I just don't understand what they're saying. And I'm saying, I'm who they singing to. And I just thank God for y'all heart. Amen. I'm going to have a brief word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I just come to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. I ask you to decrease me in self as you increase in spirit, that I may, Lord, speak from your word, God, that will deposit something within us, God, that would give us strength, God, to endure the hardness that we go through as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So, God, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you this day for who you are, not for what you've done, nor the victories that you won, but just for who you are. God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. 1 Peter Chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 reads as, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, maketh you perfect, established, strengthened, settles you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever." As a topic, I want to say, be alert. Satan is looking to devour you. The duties of a Christian believer must be vigilant to his testimony of Christ, that he will not be devoured or destroyed. What is our duty? To be vigilant and resist against the devil. The believer must consistently watch for and resist the devil. The Bible tells us that it says, be sober. I get into a lot of situations around people because they say, man, want a drink? I said, no, I don't drink. Oh, man, a little drink ain't going to hurt you. I said, that's between you and your God. But But God has showed me I don't need that to survive in life. I got something that's powerful than an alcohol beverage or marijuana or some crack cocaine. I got the Holy Spirit within me that's able to get me the dutumous power of God. That I'm above all that. I said, but I'm not knocking what you do. I've been there. I've done that. But that's not for me. And the Bible said, be sober. I'm not just talking about being intoxicated off of something that you take. Some of us in the church get intoxicated off ourselves. We get so high hung on ourselves that we are all this and everybody else is under. Because I go through a lot of this up there with some of them big preachers. They got all these doctorate degrees and all this education. But if you don't have the education to the level that they need, you can't work up underneath them. Because you have to be an educated preacher. But I went through the school of hard knocks called neology. I got down on my knees and I asked God to give me the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I may apply it to my life. And it's greater than any college education that you can get because no man can teach it to you. It's something that you have to get in the right relationship with God and seek him in a diligent manner that you might get it. And I find out so many of them are intoxicated off themselves of what they have accomplished in life. So he's telling us to be sober. Be serious minded about the things of God. Don't get caught up on a title or a position that you have. But don't let that position make you, but you make that position. Because a lot of folk are stuck on what they are doing, what they say they are doing for Christ. The Bible said, be sober. In order to be sober, you got to have the mind of Christ in the things of God. And that mind is not being thinking that you're bigger than God or you're God. Because I've had them come to me and say, well, if you really want healing, you got to come to my church. This is the only place you can get this healing. I'm saying, no. I can get down on my knees for myself and approach the throne of grace boldly before God and ask God for anything that I need. Because that's the kind of God that we serve, that God. We can go to that God boldly before the throne of grace because of the veil that has been rented in the temples of holy where Christ did that. He's our access unto that throne. But he's saying, be sober, be vigilant, be aware. See, a lot of times we get into stuff and we get satisfied with it. That we have accomplished all that we need to accomplish to be this. Being a Christian is a daily process. And it's a process that as long as there's breath in your body, you have to walk in it. Some of them have gotten to the point where they don't care what they do because they're all right now. They have arrived. And I'm saying they're not being aware of what they're going through because they have allowed people to pat them all on the back, make them feel good and big. But I don't want man's rewards. I want the reward that's up in heaven that sitteth on the right hand of God, making intercessions for me. I want my crown of righteousness that's laid up for me that no man can destroy that. I don't want no prophet's reward. I want the reward that God has for me. So they say, be sober, be vigilant. The devil, you know, the devil is our adversary. And see, the devil has a duty and a job. His whole duty and job is not even about us. It's about ripping God's heart out. His beef is with God. And he know we are God's most prized possession that he made mankind because he made us in his image. And the devil wants to just tear God's heart out, show him that we're not worth what he put down on here for us to go through his son, Jesus Christ, that it was a waste to send his son down here to die for us. But God is such a gracious God. And the devil he says, as a roaring lion. You can hear him coming because God has given us spiritual ears and eyes. We have an antenna to know when he's coming. If we what? We got to keep focus of the veil of Christ. We have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. The believer is to live a sober and controlled life. He is to stay alert to the devil and his temptations at all times. He must be alert enough to see the temptations and attacks coming and have a mind and spirit strong enough to stand against the temptations and attacks. A lot of people ask me, man, how you know God is speaking to you and the devil is not speaking to you? I said, first of all, God does not do anything out of his word. I said, second of all, you got to try that spirit, whether it be of God. How do you try the spirit? You try the spirit by the word of God. Most people are lazy and they want to listen to what somebody else is telling them how that they can get to this point and that point. When God said, no, you got to come to me. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. You got to come in through him that you may get the understanding, because that might have been good for that person's revelation that God gave him. But God holds us accountable for the revelation that applies for us. And so many people say, well, I don't understand what the word of God is saying. I say, because you won't take the time out to investigate what it says. See, we don't want to take 2 and 3 hours of dissecting what the word of God say. That's take too much time. We want to take the lazy route. We want somebody that has a PhD and doctorate degrees and all these other theology degrees and talk well and sound great and take buy their books and study what God is saying to them about things. When God said, guess what? You yourself can come to me. Because the devil is a roaring lion. He's coming to destroy the faith that you have for him. He don't care about who you are or what your friends are. He has one objective, and that objective is to rip the heart of God out of you. He wants to destroy that faith that you have for God. The first thing that the believer must keep in mind is that he's been bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you know anything about buying something that's dear to you, you cherish that thing. You take good care of it. You're not lackadaisical on where you're supposed to put it and where it's supposed to be. And Christ's supposed to be in your heart. And if it's in your heart, and fall on good ground, you can't accept anything else, because it will not fulfill the presence of the Lord in your life. You can try to substitute the things of life for the things of God, and it will not work. Because it's not the joy of the world that gives you your strength. It's the joy of the Lord that gives you the strength. So you have to be alert. Satan is looking to devour you. As an adversary, he comes as your opponent. Just as we go to a courtroom, you have the plaintiff and a defendant. The devil comes to bring up every sin that we've ever done. He don't care how big or how little it was. But his job is to keep throwing it in the face of God. And God already know if you have already repented of that thing. Because every time the devil comes up to God to throw something in his face about you, his son steps up in between that thing. But I have redeemed him. They have repented of their sins and they walked away from that thing, and they're no longer under that penalty of death. So the devil gonna come at God with everything that you've done that's sin. But thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in victory, because Jesus has redeemed us through repentance, godly sorry. See, repentance is not something that you do and then turn right back around and do that same thing. Repentance is when you have turned away from that thing and you've thrown that thing in a sea of forgetfulness for God. And he's forgotten. If you're forgotten it, he's forgotten it. And it's no longer a veil over your head. But that's when you have repented of that thing and you've walked away from it. And it's no more a problem. Which people say, but that's why I tell people, I don't worry about drinking. God took that taste out my mouth. He took the smoking and the drugs out of my mind, out of my spirit, matter of fact. It's no longer a part of me. Matter of fact, when I'm around it, it's kind of making me sick on the stomach. And I'm saying, my grandson, he's a football player, 9 years old. He got a game this evening. But the parents come up and show up with a McDonald's sweet tea cup. Ain't no sweet tea in that cup. You can smell it when they stand up beside you. I'm saying, wow. They can't sacrifice a child's game without the drink in their hand. I said, that's sad. And I tell them, I said, you know what? The devil was telling them, see, it's all right. Don't even nobody even know what's in the cup unless you let them know. But see, God knows. See, the devil, he's cunning. He's a liar, first of all, and the father of lies. And see, he tries to camouflage things and make it seem like it. Don't take all that. It's all right. It's a little white sin. Sin is sin. Anytime you transgress against the word of God, it's sin. There's no big sin, no little sin. Each sin, a sin is sin. But you have to be alert of the devices that Satan has. He's very cunning. He's real. And he's a defeated foe, but guess what? If you yield your members as instrument unto him, guess what? He has the power to persuade you. I tell people, I say, y'all think just because I stand up and say I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, everything is all right, hunky-dory? I said, no, it tells you right here. He said, but the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye may have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. You're going to go through some things as a Christian. Matter of fact, you become a bullseye. When you give your life, you become a bullseye for Satan because he's throwing all kind of fiery dots at you. He don't know really what's going on. But if he throw those dots and if you respond to that dot, that's when he know, okay, I'll keep pushing that button. I'll keep firing that dot at you. If you got a problem with drinking or drugs or sex or even positions or recognition that you got to be pat on your back of who you are. There are so many things that keeps us. Some people are stuck up on power. Look at in the White House what's going on. They were so stuck up on who we're not going to have this and we're not going to, that they could care less about the people that put them there. Amen. They could care less. Because guess what? They don't care what God has to say about it. They've kicked God out the White House and all those other. Yeah, they talk a good game. But every time you look, they're at a beer factory drinking beer or something. Or supporting this or supporting that. Anytime they can sanction a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman, something's wrong. The devil has deceived them that is a lifestyle made by God, and it's not. That's not a life that God created for man and woman. My little cousins called me the other day, a couple weeks ago, said, we want to redo our wedding vows. Would you do them? I said, I'll be glad to. A man and a woman? I'll be glad to. And they're young. They are young. They're 30 years old. And I said, wow. I said, y'all want to include God in this? They said, without God, we can't do anything about this. I said, y'all don't know. Y'all may have me up here preaching. I said, I'm just here to help you, you know, go through these sermons. I said, but I'll be up here preaching. You keep it up. They said, well, you can do what you want to do up there. I said, no, because them people are going to get mad. I said, I'm here for a purpose, and I know what that purpose was for. but it made me feel good knowing that they had a sober mind of God in them at a young age. Want to keep God in their life. Want God to get the glory out of what they're doing. But they let the wrong people handle the reception. And I said, oh, Lord. Just because you're using somebody's building. As a Christian, you can't use every building. Because if they're going on the outside of what God is requiring, well, I need to go back to another building. A lot of people don't want to do too much in the church anymore. Church got strict rules. And that is good. Because so many people are being distracted and led astray because they see people that say they saved, doing it. The couples, they say, well, you know, you're supposed to, we're going to do the first dance and all. I said, okay, that's their thing. I mean, somebody say, are you going to dance? I said, my ankles hurt. My dancing days are over. I do a different dance. You don't want to see the dance I do. I got a dance called the Holy Ghost dance, and the only way I can do that dance if the Holy Ghost hit me. I tried to imitate it, and I hurt my ankle. I said, well, I ain't playing with that no more. If the Holy Ghost don't hit me to dance, I don't dance. I said, so I can't do my street dances anymore. I used to be good at them. My body only hurts now when I even try to bend that way. But I just want to say that the devil, we have to be vigilant and resist the devil at all costs. Why? Because he wants to destroy who you are in Christ. That's his whole up. Because guess what? The battle's between the devil and God. God kicked the devil out of heaven because he thought he could do what God, take God's position. But little did he know that God made him. You know how it is sometimes. You even with your children, you're trying to teach and train them the things that God is asking them, and they don't want to do it because their friends don't do that. Their friends dress this way. I had an issue with one of my kids one time. I said, well, you don't live with your friend. You live in this house. And as for this house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're not wearing them little tight jeans and low-cut tops and all that and hot pants and them little mini skirts. No, you're not. But once you move out my house, and do you can do whatever you want to do. I said, because it's no longer on me. I've taught you all that I could teach you. I said, but the devil has a way of using anybody and anything to get us off track. And we have to be vigilant of that thing. We have to be aware of his devices. Why do we have to be aware of his device? Because the Holy Spirit teaches us his device. It's not the natural eye that we see the things of the devil. It's that spiritual eye. That eye that's able, that can't be deceived by the devil. That eye that sees him when he comes. Even if he pull up, we know he's there. Because the Spirit of God speaks out for him to let him know that this is not his place. If he can come sit in the church comfortable, something's wrong with the church. The word of God is either going to make you or it's going to send you. You're not going to sit up under the true word of God and think it's a toy. No, God's Spirit won't allow that. They say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why is the devil so powerful in the world? Because the world knoweth not God. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those three areas are very broad. And so many people miss it because it seems like it's all right. The lust of the flesh, it don't necessarily have to be sexual. You can get pleasures out of cough syrup, prescription drugs. You can get addicted to all kind of things. But the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life robs most people out of life. Because most people are good at satisfying their flesh for whatever reason they've satisfied in the ways they do. And the pride. So many people are so prideful. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. I mean, you want to see somebody getting ready to fall? Somebody that's walking around with so much pride that they're this. They got a Superman on their chest. When the Bible says humble yourself before the almighty hand of God. Why? Because he cares for you. The Bible says cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Why do God care so much? We're God's greatest possession. God holds us accountable to protect that possession. And that only way that we can protect that possession, we have to look at what God is asking of us. He's asking us to be serious-minded about his kingdom. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed, but be ye transformed. He needs a holy disposition to our mind that we know the ways of God. Most of us, we say we know the way to God, but when it's time for us to stand up for what we know about God, guess what happened? The cares of life tries to choke it out. Because, see, the devil, he sits crushed at the door waiting to snatch that very word that you receive right out of you. That you cannot walk that way. He wants to choke the word of God out of you because guess what? He has not the authority to take control over you. He has to go to God to get permission to even mess with you. That's why the Bible said, be sober. No, you need to know the things of God. You need to know that the devil can't make you do anything. If anything is in you, it's in you. It's not the devil. If you do something that's out of God's will, it's because it's in you. And the devil used that to get you to think that God don't care about you. But we serve a God that sits high and look low. Nothing gets by him. Amen. And he says, I want you to be serious-minded about this thing. I don't want you to be intoxicated on yourself that you all this and you all that. I want you to humble yourself before the Almighty God, because the devil he's trying to destroy you by his temptations, and every temptation that the devil throws at you, but you know God already has provided a way of an escape through it. He said there's no such temptation known common unto man that God is not faithful, but will with that temptation also make a way of an escape that ye may bear it. So when the devil starts throwing dots at you and you have on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and the helmet of salvation and your loins girded about with the word of truth and the sword of the spirit, when you have the weapons of God active in your life, those are what you're supposed to use. It's easy to listen to what somebody else did to get through something, but that worked for them. But God holds you accountable to use those weapons as well for yourself, because we're different. But God is the same God, yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he has all the same attributes for us to tap into that we can be have victory over the devil. So we have to be watchful. In a wake. Because, see, you know, most people, when they drink, sooner or later, they doze off and go to sleep. But, see, the Bible tells us not to be asleep. It tells us to be awake. And I'm not talking about just laying in sleep, but being asleep on the word. Not aware of what God is trying to put in your life, because our steps are ordered by God. God has ordered our steps in his word. And if we will walk in the steps of the righteous man, guess what? It will lead unto everlasting life. But this thing called life has a way of tripping some of us up. I'd be alive if I stood up and told you I never tripped up, I never failed. That'd be a lie straight from the pit. But I thank God that he was able to show me the right path, how to get back on that straight and narrow path that leadeth to everlasting. He began to tap me on my shoulder and let me know, well, it's the righteousness, the peace, the joy in the Holy Ghost. That's my kingdom. And I need you to get on that straight and narrow path that leadeth to everlasting life. when my grandmother passed, messed me up. Because that was my spiritual influence in life. When I got too high in life off of the drugs and the alcohol, I tipped over my grandmother's house. And my grandmother started talking about the Lord. That high started going down. I said, okay. And when it went all the way back down, I said, okay, Nanny, I'll see you the next time. She had no trouble with sharing the word of God with me. And when my grandma passed, I found myself going up to the gravesite. God, what do I said, Nanny, what do I do? And then finally it hit me. Her work on earth is done. The planting of the seed that had to be planted within me, she's planted that. God used her to plant that seed. Now it has to be watered. So I had to get in the right position to be watered. So I started going to churches trying to find out what can I do for my life, because I was tired of messing up what I was doing and messing over my kids. I found a church. And when I walked into that building, it was like something warm just poured over me. I didn't know what it was, but all I know is I wanted that. And it was talking about Jesus. And I stayed in there, and I stayed in there, and I kept coming, I kept coming, I kept coming, I kept coming. Yeah, the devil kept throwing stuff in my way, tripping me up, but I kept coming. I kept coming because I needed to get a sober mind. I couldn't survive no more off the life that I was living. So as I began to come more and more and more, I found out stuff was being removed out of my way. I found out it wasn't as hard as it used to be. Because I found out that God was ordering my steps. And I stayed there, and I stayed there. Yes, the devil kept throwing stuff at me. Stuff that I didn't even want started coming available to me. Women that I wanted to be around started coming around me. I said, woo. But guess what? God didn't leave me. My grandmother prayed for me. She kept me on her mind. She took the time to pray for me. And I'm so glad that she prayed, because she prayed, and the Bible said that no good thing will he hold back from them that walk uprightly before him. Be alert. Satan is looking to devour you. Sister Barbara, he don't have nothing on you. You already got the victory, and you know that. Because as soon as you got out the car this morning, you was all fired up for the Lord. So it's not what you go through that tell you. That's how you handle what you go through. And you're handling in the manner that God has deposited within you to have that joy, that strength, that everlasting peace. And everybody else that's going through something, you already know you're the victor. You have the victory. But it gets hard. Trust me, it gets hard. And it's because we're human. But don't give up on God. Don't let the devil tap you on the shoulder. You don't even want him standing beside you so that he can tap you on the shoulder. Didn't I tell you that he don't care for you? See, if God really cared for you, this wouldn't happen. That's how the devil starts sneaking up on you. But see, because you already know, you tell him to get thee behind you, Satan. And you put him beneath your feet. And whatever God has for you to go through, it is for you to go through. Why? Because it's not always about you, the person that's going through. It's for somebody else sometimes that they may get through what they're going through. So be alert. Satan is looking to devour you. He wants to destroy you because he knows sooner or later we're going to have to meet Christ. And if he can destroy us before that time, he's done his job. But his job is not a good job, because he's a defeated foe, and God is a decided fact that he lives, and he lives forevermore. And all I really wanted to say to and encourage somebody is to let them know that no matter what you're going through, no matter how rough and tough it is, trust the Lord. Lean on his everlasting arms. He'll guide you through that thing. A lot of times we think it's unfair because the world looks like they just doing their thing and just know their day is coming. But know that when you're doing the right thing that God has required of you, you have a greater reward. That reward cannot be tarnished. Their rewards, they have to keep renewing day by day to keep it. But this reward we have of God, all we have to do is live the life that God has asked for us, that we can inherit eternal life. Be alert. The devil, Satan, is looking to devour you. He's going to throw everything in the path that he can. Anything and everything, the things we love the most, he'll come through that. But he has to go to God to get the permission first. And if God allows the devil to come at us through those areas, it's for his purpose and his purification process. And now some things we have to have purged out of us, but we don't know it because guess what? We think we're all right. So God has to turn up the care of life, that it would come to the surface so that we might see and hear what God is requiring of us. So don't let nobody tell you it ain't worth it. Don't let nobody tell you that God don't care about you. But we're going to bear some infirmities, but the Lord deliver us of them all. And he's that kind of God, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think of him, but according to the power that worketh within us. Stay attached to God. The devil is looking to devour us. He don't care how he do it. He'll distract us in something that we don't even think that's the devil. It could be a cartoon that distract us. It could be an animal running across the street. We've been hitting deers left and right, not me. But the coke guys that I work for, they've been running over deers left and right. So they got us putting these little things on there that the deer can hear. I still think they run right into it. That's what God has given us, spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, that we can, the devil, we can hear that devil coming and we can see him coming because he comes as a roar. You know, the lion is the king of the jungle. He the big bad boy. He ain't walking through his jungle. He coming through the He's staking his territory. But all he's doing is putting on a good facade that he all that. But we have something bigger and better than him. And all you have to do is just trust God. Let him roar. He can't do anything to you that God don't allow. So I just want to encourage us today that we all go through stuff. We're here iron sharpening iron. We're here to better one another. When one of us are going through something, we're all going through it. We're going through it as well with you. Yeah, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, but it ain't you. But if it hurts you, it hurts me. And if it's bothering you, it bothers me. Because we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are all in the body of Christ. And regardless of what anybody else might say, we're in this to make it to heaven. That we have this place that nothing can bother us anymore. So be aware. Be alert. The devil, Satan, is seeking to devour you. Amen. Amen.